Welcome to The Author Show, where we feature new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between. You'll find it all at theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. And now let the show begin.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming to the program author Donna Lewis, who's a winner in our 2018 Top Female Authors Contest. Donna, how are you?
Excellent, Don. How are you?
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I reside in Florida. I am the author of the book that you just listed, Miracles of Direction, Miracles of Conquest, Miracles of Provision, Miracles of Purpose. And I am working on completing the second book that you listed, Book of Proverbs, Wisdom vs. Wilderness, due out this year, that I'm very excited about. I also donate to Christian organizations as well as hurricane relief. And I've been married for over 30 years.
So tell us about your writing journey.
The writing journey has been very rewarding as well as being a little bit challenging. I started out learning about writing and going to schools in Queensborough Community College and also taking some courses with a writing school in Connecticut. And I learned a lot of different things, mainly starting out with children's writing, and then switched over to faith writing.
Now, who do you write for?
People who are looking for hope and purpose in their lives. People genuinely want to live their lives with an optimistic state of mind. Take a first-time expectant mother. She is so excited to give birth to her first child and hopes everything will go well with the delivery and that that child will be normal. People live for a positive outcome. Then there are also the new believers who are excited and anxious to start their new life with God at the head. They are anxious to delve into reading the Word and see what it has to say.
So, could you say there's any type of central message that runs throughout your books?
Yes, definitely. Trust God and believe with unwavering faith, because He can do all things. In the Bible, there was a man named Noah. Noah had great faith and trusted God. Noah was approximately about 480 years old when God asked him to build the ark. The floods never came until Noah was 600 years old. Then there was Abraham. God told him he would be a father of many nations. Abraham lived to be 175 years old and never saw what God had promised him. He died before he could inherit the land of Canaan, but he trusted God even though he never saw what he was promised.
So if you had to choose, what would you say is the most important idea you're sharing in your books that's really going to add value to the reader's life?
Miracles. They happen for those who believe and those who want to have hope that miracles do happen to prove that God exists. Once we have no hope, we might as well be dead. Hope allows us to dream about what could happen or what could be true. What is hope? Hope, when broken down, is a healthy outlook and a positive energy. Take, for example, Memorial Day. Everybody, or at least most people, are hoping for great weather so they can barbecue. We should all have that hope daily and definitely hope in God. Having anything else can be destructive to us. They say anger weakens the liver, grief weakens the lungs, worry weakens the stomach, and stress weakens the heart and brain. And finally, fear fails the kidney.
So, tell us your most rewarding experience since publishing your book.
Honestly, it is two things. First, being a winner for 3 consecutive years for 50 great writers you should be reading. The contest was recommended to me to enter, and I figured, why not? I was so pleased when the winners were announced in 2015, and I was one of them. When the contest started again in 2016, I asked my mentor, who works with me with my sales and marketing, if I should enter again and if I needed to revise my essay. He advised me what to do, and so I entered again. When the winners were announced, I was so grateful that I was amongst the winners again. In 2017, I entered, and when I was advised I was a winner again at that point, was so humbled. To me, it was truly the Trinity. In 2017, I tried out for the top female author and was pleased to become a nominee. Even though I didn't win, receiving the seal as a nominee was exciting. However, being advised that I was the winner this year, top female author for 2018, for religion, philosophy, spirituality was truly a blessing. There are so many fantastic writers out there in my genre that this was the icing on the cake for me.
Now, did your environment or upbringing play any major role in your writing?
No, not really, because I'm the only one in my family that ever had a penchant for writing. The way some young girls would have a room full of dolls and toys, I had some as well, but I also had it filled with pens and writing pads. English was always my favorite subject in school because I just enjoyed writing paper. Then I went on and studied writing at the Queensborough Community College in Bayside, New York, as well as Institute of Children's Literature and Long Lit Writers Group in Madison, Connecticut. To this day, I still have white and yellow legal pads that I use, and then I transfer my work to the computer.
So if someone wrote a book about your life, what would the title be?
Ah, that's easy. A Persevering and Fighting Soul. I wrote this book and then didn't know what to do with it and how to market it or get a contract. One day I received a postcard from a publishing company in New York saying they review manuscripts free of charge. And if you've ever dreamed of being a published writer, mail in your manuscript. After I read that, the fire burned inside me. And so I mailed off the manuscript. Within 8 weeks, they responded back to me with great news and a contract offer. It was like someone had lifted me 10 feet off the ground. I was so excited. I was able to make monthly payments on the amount of about $8,875 with no interest. Then 1 month after paying over $6,000 into the project, I called my author representative to make a payment and discovered the phone number had been disconnected. I went on to my computer to research if they had changed their phone number, only to find out the company closed its doors and filed for bankruptcy. At that point, I was numb, actually horrified and distraught. I contacted my attorney, and after several months of research, emails, and phone calls, I was unable to get my money back, but was able to get my rights back for the book. This, of course, was one of the darkest times in my writing journey, but I remembered Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so I let the water roll off my back, dried my tears, and trusted God that he would find another publishing company where my book would be a blessing to people once published.
So how would you describe your writing style?
I'm going to say illustrative and down-to-earth. I try to write in a down-to-earth basic tone where anybody can absorb and understand the message I'm trying to get across. My writing is practical and filled with biblical scriptures. I try to be illustrative in definition. And then I also try to include quotes from others in my work. This is something that you will see in my blogs on my website.
So why do you write?
I write because I'm passionate about bringing uplifting and encouraging words to people. I want people to realize they need to embrace their lives every moment, even when things may not be going as smoothly as they desire. Life is a gift, and everyone needs to live life with appetite and engage. Writing allows the reader to digest the information on their time, at their pace. Influence through writing transcends time and place. Writing will go to places you would never wander, even if you lived 200 years. Writing forces you to polish the articulation of your best thoughts for others. The average book is read by more than two different people, and it is passed on or left to be picked up by someone else. This interesting little stat reminds you that influence is larger than just the number books sold or hit on your blog.
So based on your experience as a writer, what's the one recommendation you would make to authors just starting out?
Oh, that's easy. Develop a platform before you write a book. As anxious as you may be to have your book published, develop an audience first. If people don't know who you are, you will never sell any books. Find and work with a marketing person. It is so critical. You need to have your name established and out there. Write blogs and develop a website. As long and tedious as it may sound, you need to advertise the fact that you will be releasing your book at least 6 months to a year in advance, so people will be expecting it and ready to purchase it once it is available for purchase.
So what do you really hope to accomplish with all of this?
I wish that everyone will give their lives to God, get right with God, and trust God unwavering. I pray that people will enjoy their lives and stop trying to figure everything out and leave that up to God. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Take, for instance, the story of Joseph in the Bible. Joseph had a dream that one day he would rule over his family and brothers. He relayed that dream to his siblings, who were angry upon hearing this, since he was the youngest son. His brothers threw him in a ditch and sold him to merchants. He was ultimately sold to a high-ranking Egyptian named Potiphar, and eventually became the supervisor of Potiphar's household. Potiphar's wife, however, had an eye for Joseph and tried to seduce him. Joseph turned down her advances, and one day Potiphar's wife caught Joseph by the cloak and again made sexual advances. Joseph fled, leaving his cloak in her hand. In anger, she falsely accused Joseph of attempted rape, and Potiphar put him in prison. While Joseph was in jail, he interpreted the dreams of two of his fellow prisoners. Both interpretations proved to be true, and one of the men was later released from jail and restored to his position as the king's cupbearer. However, the cupbearer forgot about Joseph and failed to speak to Pharaoh about him. 2 years later, the king himself had some troubling dreams, and the cupbearer remembered Joseph's gift of interpretation. The king summoned Joseph and related his dreams. Based on Pharaoh's dreams, Joseph predicted 7 years of bountiful harvest, followed by 7 years of severe famine in Egypt, and advised the king to begin storing grain in preparation for the coming dearth. For his wisdom, Joseph was made a ruler in Egypt, second only to the king. Joseph oversaw storing up food during the years of plenty and selling it to Egyptians and foreigners during the years of famine. The time frame for all of this was 13 years from the time Joseph had his dream until he lived his dream. Wait patiently on God and trust him.
Do you have a website?
Yes, I do. My website address is www.miraclebook.net.
This has been just great. Our guest today has been Donna Lewis, winner of our 2018 Top Female Authors Contest in the Religion, Philosophy, Spiritual category. Congratulations, Donna, and thanks very much for being with us today.
Wonderful. Thank you, Don. Have a fantastic day.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. Listen to some of your favorite authors every day 24/7 by visiting theauthorshow.com. Just clicking the book title and the player at the top of the page. These interviews are available to book buyers worldwide on demand. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and feel you could benefit by getting in front of your target audience with a high-quality media interview that'll make a real impact, visit theauthorshow.com, fill out the form, and we may be contacting you shortly. You can also visit our audiobook store at theaudiobookmarket.com. Join us here next time for another great book and another exciting author on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. Find out more about authors and their work at theauthorshow.com. Theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.